You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5,000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5,000. Enjoy!
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
tip pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The Home Depot's number one in outdoor power. But when it comes to cordless power, we also pack quite a punch. With the latest mowers, blowers, trimmers, and more. From exclusive brands like Ryobi, DeWalt, EGO, Milwaukee, and Makita. Unleashing the power of gas with all the convenience of cordless. The best names in cordless power. Order online for easy pickup or delivery. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only.
For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns. Capitol Hill is reacting to the Supreme Court ruling on DACA. Here's USA's Tim Berg.
The Supreme Court on Thursday rejected President Trump's attempt to end the DACA program, handing a major victory to about 650,000 illegal immigrants who all entered the country illegally as a child more than a decade ago. As far as the president's next steps, Republican Senator from Oklahoma James Lankford tells Fox News.
Well, the president, I would assume, is going to come out and say, okay, we're going to go back and reevaluate this. Clearly, no president is supposed to be, until today, bound by the actions of a previous president. No president can make legislation that can't be undone. But now the court has said any president can only undo the actions of a previous president if the court agrees to that. And that's absurd, again, on its face. That violates all separation of powers.
Dow loses 40, but NASDAQ and S&P gain. This is USA Radio News. There's been a death in one of America's most famous political families. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
The last surviving member of what many Americans at the time referred to as Camelot has passed away. The last surviving sibling to former President John F. Kennedy, Jean Kennedy Smith, died yesterday in her Manhattan home. She was 92. She was also the former U.S. ambassador to Ireland. She lived for decades longer than most of her siblings, whose lives tragically ended. Of course, including the former President Kennedy, who was assassinated in 1963. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Supporters of President Trump have convened on Tulsa ahead of a Saturday event being billed as a pro-Trump rally. Trump said more than a million people have requested tickets for the event at the Bank of Oklahoma Center. The rally comes amid an uptick in COVID-19 cases in the area. The Trump campaign has said that every attendee will be subjected to a temperature check. You're listening to USA Radio News. The governors of Texas and Florida have said the spike in coronavirus cases in their respective states are due to an increase in testing. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis pushed back against his culpability in aggressively reopening his state. He blamed the surge in cases in part on the crowded living conditions of migrant families. For his part, Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the hospital capacity in his state is dramatically better than it was earlier this year when the pandemic first hit. Portraits of four former House speakers who served in the Confederacy were removed Thursday. The current House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, directed the House clerk to oversee the immediate removal of the portraits. She declared that the men embodied the violent bigotry and grotesque racism of the Confederacy. The speakers were from Georgia, Virginia, and South Carolina. A gym in Oxford, Massachusetts is fighting to open in spite of an order to remain closed due to the COVID state emergency that shut down gyms. Prime Fitness owner David Blondin reopened his gym a month ago with member support. He told WBZ-TV that he feels disrespected by town officials.
I understand the shutdowns and the laws and the rules and all that kind of stuff, but enough is enough.
A judge has allowed the town to use whatever means to close the facility. Water and electricity has been cut off to the gym and locks have been changed. Blondin faces fines of $1,300 a day. News on demand anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns.
With Direct Energy's free nights, you get 12 hours of free power every night. That means when it comes to pulling an all-nighter to get that presentation ready for the big meeting, we provide free power to the first pot of coffee. Power to your trusty laptop. Power to the motivational music. Power to the second pot of coffee. Power to the microwave for those late night snack attacks. And power to you for getting that promotion you worked so hard for. Call 888-400-6044 or visit directenergy.com/freenights to sign up for free power all night, every night. Call 888-400-6044 or visit directenergy.com/freenights. See directenergy.com/freenights for full details, subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. PUCT number 10040.
Ya abrió una tienda JCPenney en tu área, con medidas de seguridad como pago sin contacto. También ofrecemos entrega a tu auto sin contacto cuando compras en el app de JCPenney o JCP.com. Haz tu visita a la tienda extra especial, con ahorros de hasta 80% en mercancía en liquidación por toda la tienda. En JCPenney mantenemos nuestras tiendas limpias y seguras para ti. Visita JCP.com para tiendas, horarios y cupones. JCPenney. Aplican condiciones y exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda o JCP.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
I take a breath, I'm not gonna lose. This is what I came here to do.
Keep on doing what you do, Rick. You're my favorite host.
Favorite.
Yeah.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's time to hear the truth about America's biggest challenges. You're listening to America Off the Rails with your host, Rick Robinson.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Good evening, America, and welcome to the program. I am Rick Robinson. This is a special Thursday night edition of the America Off the Rails show. It's been a while since we've been on Thursday nights, but I've cut back on a lot of my schedule because now I do 2 hours a day in the morning. That is going on at least until further notice, that may be changing soon only because I've had a lot of technical issues while I've been trying to work from home. So I've been given the warning that if I don't turn things around and stop having to use so much time to get things fixed, I may have to go back to the office. But if that does happen, it likely won't happen until the first of next month. So still gives me time to hopefully talk them out of it, because otherwise I may go a little insane and I'll miss you guys in the mornings. But if I have to go back to driving again, there's no way I can do it. But anyway, so we're live. We're back. It's a good thing. I have internet again. Yeah, for those of you keeping score, it's been a really terrible couple of weeks at my house. Not going to go into it again, but we're back, we're live, and this is America Off the Rails. Now, tonight, you're not going to get to hear very much of me, to be honest, because we have two Buffoon of the Weeks to catch up with, because I wasn't able to do last week's, and now we still need to do this week's. So we're going to do a couple of those things. I'm probably going to kick one of those off in a second, and then we'll save the other one for the other half of the show. You're still going to get to hear a little bit from me, but before we get started, I apologize. I didn't turn up the volume on the newsreel in time, so I apologize if I'm late with this because I just tweeted it as soon as I found out. But Amy Klobuchar, who was best known for at one point eating salad with a comb, has removed her own name from the Biden team Veep shortlist, citing now is the time to put a woman of color on the ballot. So some people in the chat when I first posted this a moment ago were asking, does this mean we're going to get to see Tulsi again? No. Because she doesn't fit their narrative of what a woman of color should believe. So no, I don't think that's going to happen. But this does pretty, I mean, you know, unless you count, you know, Warren, who's like at least 1,024th red, which is a color, by the way. Thanks, Ron, for pointing that out. That probably means that we're going to see a Biden-Harris ticket, I'm pretty sure. Which doesn't do him any favors. Because, you know, for the guy who says, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black, her own people don't like her. So that's not really going to do him any favors. Not that that's going to hurt my feelings, mind you, because, you know, Joe Biden's a moron. Anybody who gives advice in a president and vice presidential debate that winds up getting two people arrested probably shouldn't be running the country. Oh, wait, some of you haven't. You haven't heard about that? Were you living under a rock in 2012? So, during the debate between Gropey Joe and Eddie Munster, sorry, that was my name for, what the hell was his actual name? I've called him Eddie Munster for so long, now I can't remember what his actual name is. Probably because I blocked him from my memory. But anyway, he was Romney's VP pick. So during one of the debates, when they're talking about the Second Amendment, Biden's like, you don't need all these fancy guns. You don't need an AR-15 with all these bullets. Just buy yourself a shotgun. And if somebody comes into your house, you fire a warning shot. And if that doesn't work, you shoot them through the door. So some people took his advice. They bought a shotgun. They fired a warning shot before researching the fact that in 99.9% of the municipalities in America, it's now illegal to fire warning shots because, thanks to Sir Isaac Newton, we now understand that because of gravity, what goes up must come down. So yes, this was a very bad idea. It was a really stupid thing to say on national TV. People took the advice, and they got arrested, and he wants to run the country. No thanks, I think I will pass. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but I don't need somebody who doesn't even understand the basic idea of how to operate a firearm safely telling me that I don't need a gun. That's problem number one. Problem number two with Joe Biden being basically the presumptive nominee at this point is some point that rambling motherfucker is going to have to come out from under his basement again. He's going to have to start getting back out in front of cameras, and it's not going to always be in these little puff piece interviews that they put, well, you know, Donald Trump has done this and Donald Trump has done that. If you guys haven't seen it yet, I was going to try to play it on the air, but it doesn't translate well because it's mostly video. But there is a Trump campaign ad right now that is out that absolutely eviscerates Joe Biden. It opens with him toasting with Xi Jinping and talking about what a great relationship they've built. And then it cuts to all these factories that have closed down while Biden was the vice president of the country, and all these jobs that were pushed over to China while he was vice president of the country, and the fact that Donald Trump has done a lot to try to bring a lot of those jobs back from all these places that the Obama administration and every other administration before them had sent them to. And then it cuts back to them toasting each other again and says, how exactly does it put it? China is our problem, but also Biden is a huge problem. I don't know. I don't have the ad in front of me anymore. But I know it hit on a lot of points. And that's the one thing that I will say. The Trump campaign, you know, say what you want about him, you know, his missteps, his misspeaks, his bad cues, you know, the whole Juneteenth thing. His campaign, for the most part, in a lot of ways, runs like a well-oiled machine, even though he is the one at the head of it, and sometimes I wish he would put his Twitter account down. But that's a story for another day, because no matter how hard I try, I can't get past some of the things that he does and says on Twitter. But, you know, the thing about it is, just because I support President Donald Trump doesn't also mean that I won't, you know, call him out when I see things that I don't agree with. Speaking of which, I have some audio that I'm going to play for you here in just a moment. We played it on the Robinson and Hordy show last night, so if you've heard it already, I apologize. But we're going to talk about this before I play the first buffoon of the week. This is actually from our good quote-unquote friend, Dr. Fauci, and he's talking about how basically, because they were afraid of a shortage of masks, they did something that I find pretty shady, and he just basically comes out and admits it. It's only 46 seconds, so let's give it a listen.
Now, getting back to your first question, which was, what about a month or so, or two or three ago, when people were saying, you don't really need to wear a mask? Well, the reason for that is that we were concerned, the public health community, and many people were saying this, were concerned that it was at a time when personal protective equipment, including the N95 masks and the surgical masks, were in very short supply. And we wanted to make sure that the people, namely the healthcare workers, who were brave enough to put themselves in harm's way to take care of people who you know were infected with the coronavirus and the danger of them getting infected, we did not want them to be without the equipment that they needed.
So let me translate that to better English for you. What he basically just admitted is, yes, what the CDC and everybody said a few months later, they feel is accurate, that masks can actually help curtail the spread of the coronavirus. However, at the time, they told you it really didn't matter because they were more concerned about making sure that people that needed the high-quality masks had access to them. Meaning that Dr. Fauci and members of the Trump administration did not trust you to be adult enough to say, hey, look, a mask will help you. Things like bandanas will work if you can't come up with anything else. But please, let's leave the actual high-quality masks to the professionals that are going into harm's way every single day until we can ramp up production. That is part of what is driving me crazy about America, and at this point is even starting to drive me crazy about the Trump administration. Because even he, at times, doesn't realize that the people that are voting for him and actually supporting him are actual fucking adults, and we have the ability to make up our own mind and make our own decisions. That is another thing that is driving me crazy about COVID-19. I used to have a soundbite, and I think I'm going to try to find it on the break, because it's just kind of where I am. But for those of you who, in case I can't find it, I used to, on this show all the time, run a line from Demolition Man. Was it Dennis Leary? I think it was Dennis Leary. Anyway, there was a character on there who basically, he was basically your your basic, you know, futurist libertarian type dude, says, look, at the end of the day, I want to be able to run naked down the street, covered in green jello, if that's what the hell I want to do, while I'm eating red meat. And that's the thing, folks. When you talk about freedom, you have to think about freedom in the weirdest terms possible. Because that's what freedom means. Freedom doesn't mean the same to you as it does to me. Freedom doesn't mean the same to your Aunt Martha as it does to me. Freedom doesn't mean the same as to your Aunt Jemima as it might to you. But the thing about, yeah, I did that on purpose because Aunt Jemima is being boycotted and being removed from shelves. It's fucking syrup, okay? Just get a grip. It's syrup. So the thing about Aunt Jemima is before they revamped the label, because let's not forget, a few years ago, she got a makeover. Aunt Jemima looks more like a cafe owner now than what she was originally depicted as. But before the makeover, she looked remarkably like one of the characters from Gone with the Wind, who happened to be the first African-American actress to win an Oscar. However, Gone with the Wind is now terrible, too. You never mind the fact that it was, at the time, a depiction of what was going on during the Civil War, and, you know, but, you know, the actress that played that character got an Oscar, but eventually that's going to be removed. Because it's not going to... So for those of you who have been living under a rock, HBO Max pulled Gone with the Wind. But they said they're going to bring it back. But they're going to bring it back because the first thing they're going to do is put a little disclaimer on the front that talks about, you know, this has some sensitive topics and it depicts slavery and it does this and it does that. But you know what? That's never going to be enough. Because once you give an inch to these motherfuckers, they're going to take a mile. And they always do. If you don't believe me, look at Seattle. There's an entire section of the city of Seattle where they have seceded from the entire fucking United States of America, and the first thing they did was build a border wall. But you want to tell me that, oh, it's okay, they're just expressing themselves, they're just trying to show everybody how upset they are, and how much Black Lives Matter to them. You know what, Black Lives Matter to me too, but why is it just about Black Lives? Why is it just about Black Lives? If we really look at the numbers, more white people are shot by police officers than black people. But nobody talks about that fact because it's worse for black people because the media tells them they have to be afraid of police. The media has been telling them for years that they have to be terrified of police. They can't trust the police. The police are out to get them. They get stopped in larger numbers. They do this in larger numbers. But the thing that nobody talks about, 99% of the crimes involving African Americans that police responded to were reported by other African Americans. So this isn't Whitey out to get you. This is you doing stupid shit and even your neighbors don't like it. So can we just stop with the bullshit? Is it that much to ask that we stop with the bullshit and realize that we are adults and we have the ability to make up our own minds and also that we have to deal with our own consequences? Now, before anybody yells at me, I'm not talking about George Floyd. That was some bullshit. As an old fat white guy, I'm telling you right now, that was some bullshit that never should have happened. As an old fat white guy who used to wear a badge and used to carry a gun, I'm telling you right now, that was a bunch of bullshit that never would have happened, and if I would have been on scene, the other guy would have been in cuffs. But I wasn't there. But that being said, everything that has sprung from that, when you had 99.9% of the entire American population believing what you were saying, that this was terrible and it never should have happened and things need to change, and we're like, you know what? We see it. We watched this one, we watched it unfold, this was just stupid, it never should have fucking happened, dude is telling you he cannot breathe while you have your knee on his neck, while he is in handcuffs, and we all agree with you, and it's still not enough. And then you go into your own neighborhoods and burn shit down and break things, and we're supposed to feel sorry for you. Fuck you. And yes, again, I'm an old fat white guy. I really don't give a shit if you call me racist. Because I've been called racist before. I'm not racist. I am a realist. If you go into your own towns and you burn shit down and you break shit, I'm not going to feel sorry for you. When we have the simple fact of the matter is we were looking at the worst economy since the Great Depression because we shut the entire fucking thing down for what is predominantly becoming for the most part, a very made-up, misunderstood virus. And I'm not saying that the people who have died from it is a hoax. I'm not Alex Jones. What I am saying is the hysteria the media created about COVID-19 wasn't warranted. And what I am saying is we destroyed the economy because we didn't understand a virus. And now y'all motherfuckers who are screaming about George Floyd having somebody's knee on his neck for 9 minutes just went into your own neighborhoods and destroyed hundreds of thousands of dollars of businesses. There was a lady, and I've talked about this before I lost my internet. There was a lady who did an interview. She was part owner of a shop that was almost burned to the ground. She's like, not only do I work here part-time, I'm part owner. You just put your knee on my neck. And it was people of color that did it to another person of color. This is the part that doesn't make any sense to me. Because look, folks, and again, I realize I'm going to get hate over this. I don't care. At RowdyRick73, RadioFreeRick@gmail.com. Shoot me all the hate you want. I will tear you apart on the air. I really don't fucking care. Because this is what I'm trying to say. Until Black Lives Matter to black people, then they can't matter to anybody else. And if there's as much black-on-black violence as there is in this country on a daily basis, don't you dare fucking tell me the Black Lives Matter above everybody else's, because even y'all don't believe that shit, because you're killing each other in the streets. Unless it fits your political narrative. And that is some bullshit. Because at the end of the day, every single one of you are killing each other just because you can over territory and over drugs and over whatever else is fucking going on in your neighborhoods. And I'm tired of dealing with it. I dealt with it for years. I don't have to deal with it anymore, but I know people that are. And I'm telling you right now, the police in this country right now are some of the least paid, underappreciated people on the planet, and I wouldn't do that job anymore. And I wouldn't have said that until about a year ago. Because the last time something like this happened, you can actually go back into the archives and listen to FUBAR. Whenever the Ferguson stuff was going on. And I was so pissed, I was ready to fucking figure out how to get back into shape and sign back up again. And Sam looked at me on the air. You're fucking nuts. I would never do that job. And I'm there now. Because you can't do this job. You can't anymore, because you can't make everybody happy. And at the end of the day, no matter what rules you have, no matter what training you have, no matter how much you're told the right way to do things, and no matter how, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, nobody's gonna believe you. That's like we've seen all of this that has come out about this shooting in Georgia that is still under investigation, by the way. The dude has been charged, arrested, and last I heard, was in jail right now, in general population. If that isn't proof that that district attorney is trying to get him killed, I don't know what the fuck is. Alright, anyway, we should probably take the bottom of the hour break, because I've ranted a lot longer than I meant to, and I have bunches of things we still have to do. So, we're going to take a break, because as promised, I am going to get in these whole, buffoon of the week things, but I ran it for so long there may not be much time for much of anything else because I haven't looked to see how long the second one is. But we are going to take a break. This is America Off the Rails. I am your host, Rick Robinson, and I'm really, really ranty tonight. Can you tell I haven't done podcasts in like a week? Just saying. We'll be back. Don't go away. How can we dance when our earth is turning? Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care.
healthcare, freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your healthcare, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your healthcare while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5,000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5,000. Enjoy.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is
more cabin.
Cabin. Well, now I'm sad because I just did the math, and with the two Buffoon of the Week segments we have left, there's probably not going to be much show left. But I didn't even really start railing on the Supreme Court yet. But I did rail on that pretty good for the hour before this one, so if you want to go hear my thoughts on that as well as Jen, just make sure you go check out the Jen and Rick show later. So just because I haven't done this in a while, again, want to thank everybody for taking the time to tune in. Look, guys, I just did the math the other day. I've been doing this for almost 12 years in one form or another. There have been times that I have nearly made it into the big time and the deals have fallen apart underneath me. And at one point I just decided, you know what? Radio isn't really what it used to be. And I'm going to be honest, once I started working in radio, it's a really backstabby industry. And I'm not saying that about anybody that I used to work with, because what happened with those deals wasn't their fault. I just didn't get the whole story until much, much later. But as far as, you know, trying to build yourself up, one of the things that has always driven me crazy is, you know, one of the things that I hear from conservatives all the time is, well, you know, charities do things better. And if you come together and you help your neighbors and you do these things and you do that things, you don't need government help so much and this, that, and the other. But then you start trying to work with other people that are supposedly conservative who are trying to tell you that they're trying to make things better and trying to build up a platform so people can have voices and get ideas out that maybe other people hadn't heard or maybe other people don't have the courage to say these kind of things. And I've worked with a lot of other platforms over the years. I've had shows on Red State Radio. I've had shows on Red Nation Rising Radio. I've had shows on a couple of different terrestrial stations. I've filled in from time to time on local terrestrial stations here. There are all kinds of things that I've done over the years, some of which I talk about, others of which I do not. But one of the things that I have found over time is all of these people that I've known over the years that we're like, oh, we're going to do this together, and we're going to do this together, and if you help me, then I'm going to help you. And then, you know, at that time, maybe I figured a few things out that they didn't know, and I bought into what they said, well, if you help me, I'll help you. And then at some point, some of them have passed me, and then when it was my turn to say, hey, I'm really curious to see how you figured this out, because this is something that I've been trying to figure out for a while, and I can't seem to make it work. Sucks to be you. So, but I say all of this because, look, at the end of the day, we have a really great group of folks, and in a lot of ways, whether directly or indirectly, I have helped mentor a lot of them. Some of these people that have now been working with me for years, first of all, never even realized they wanted to do a podcast. Second of all, some of them got bushwhacked into doing a podcast because Jen, some of you have heard her story. She came on as a guest one time, and at the end of the show, I'm like, by the way, that was your audition. When do you want to start? And she's like, huh? And we've now been doing a show for years. G, who is the number three rated show on the station right now, and has been for quite some time. He bumps into number two anytime FUBAR goes on hiatus. Sometimes even number one. There's this big trade-off between off the rails, FUBAR, and conservative curmudgeon. Usually on any given month, those are kind of the top three shows because they're the ones that have been around the longest for the most part. We have a lot of newer shows that are starting to gain a lot of traction, but they're just not quite there yet. But so the thing about that is, you know, even he didn't want to do a show at first. I basically stalked him. We knew each other through Facebook, and then he went to Twitter because he got tired of Facebook, and I stayed on Facebook for a while longer because I hated Twitter, and then I started trying to figure out Twitter, and then we started the podcast network, the original one, and then I'm like, hey, you should do a show, and he's like, no, fuck you, I don't want to do a show. No, I don't want to do a show. No, I don't want to shoot. Don't want to do a show. Now here we are almost 7 years later, and he's been doing a show every week since then, for the most part, unless there's technical issues or something else that's going on. But I bring all of this up because, look, I would do this even if nobody was listening, and trust me, I have, because when I first started, nobody wanted to listen to anything I was saying. And now we have a great core group of folks that tune into every single show. A lot of folks are tuning in live now. We have people that are now listening all over the world. That's right. For those of you who don't know, KLRN Radio has global reach. So for everybody who says, nobody listens to your shit, dude, we have people that listen worldwide. So you can just, in the words of I lost my train of thought, but it's because I just realized if I keep rambling, I'm never going to play these other clips. So anyway, I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to say thank you to everybody who tunes in and has helped make KLRN Radio what it is today. And it's because of you guys that a lot of these folks that are doing this every single week and sometimes every single day keep doing it, because they really, really enjoy interacting with you guys. So without further ado, here's last week's edition of the Buffoon of the Week right now.
Welcome to Buffoon of the Week, a show where we review the past week's news and current events and find people who said or did something so monumentally stupid that they earn a shot at winning our dubious distinction. And that's where you come in. You see, we nominate two worthy buffoons, and you vote for who you think was the bigger buffoon by either clicking on the eye in the top right corner of the video or by leaving a comment below in favor of your choice. Last week, it was another close battle, but you voted for Twitter as Buffoon of the Week. And we've noticed an interesting dynamic developing these days, as the votes on our social media were clearly in favor of Central Park Karen, while our friends here on YouTube went for Twitter. It's something we're going to keep an eye on. If you're watching us for the first time, or if you've seen every episode, we want you to know that we regularly release our videos on Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you like our growing show, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We need your help to grow our show, so please help a brother out. We want to get to our next goal of 200 subscribers as quickly as possible. Once again, our nominating committee had no shortage of options, and those that didn't measure up still earn a shout out as a dishonorable mention. Okay, before we start making fun of the news, we know that there's been a lot of heavy topics being discussed lately. And yes, a lot of what we're going to be talking about in this video is somehow connected to the fallout over the tragic death of George Floyd. I hope you'll see that we are not making light of this tragedy at all, and that we're not taking a position either way on any heavy topics. After all, what do you care about what a clown like me thinks? But that said, there are a lot of people on the periphery of the story out there who deserve our side eye of shame. And throughout this whole thing, don't be afraid to laugh. It's part of the healing. You know, a week doesn't go by where our committee doesn't talk about former Buffoon of the Week, Bill de Blasio, who everyone has decided won't be nominated again this year because, well, he'd probably win every single week. This past week, of course, the former Warren Wilhelm was all talk and no action in the midst of our national angst. Even though New York was under a citywide curfew intended to ease unrest, de Blasio held a press conference last Thursday saying that protesters could break curfew so long as they behave themselves, but they need to leave when the police tell them to.
I want to emphasize, I don't think there is anything but clarity if we say there's a curfew at 8 p.m., and that folks are being told consistently, there's a curfew here and we're showing respect for protests, but you need to go home. And if at a certain point, officers say, okay, it's time, we need to go now, people need to listen to that.
This makes perfect sense, of course, because protesters against the police already out breaking a police-enforced curfew typically listen to police orders. You should also know that de Blasio had previously said that coronavirus-related restrictions on non-essential businesses and places of worship would continue even as protesters and looters were allowed the run of the city. Because in de Blasio's leftist fantasy world, the coronavirus agreed not to infect protesters who weren't social distancing. Speaking of fantasy worlds, de Blasio also decided to wax poetic about John Lennon's Imagine.
I understand. I don't mean to make light of this, but I'm reminded of the song Imagine by John Lennon. We played it at my inauguration. I think everyone who hears that song in its fullness thinks about what about a world where people got along differently? What about a world where we didn't live with a lot of the restrictions that we live with?
You know what? I'm with you on this one, Bill. We are all imagining. We're imagining an actual working mayor of the city of New York who isn't a national embarrassment. Speaking of completely useless people, let's introduce you to a disturbing trend we've seen this past week. Protest selfies. These wastes of humanity show up at protests or in the aftermath of a protest to use the pain of others as a backdrop for their latest social media posts. I mean, look at these buffoons. They're not there for change. They're there for likes and influence and to put on how woke they are. I mean, I don't even know who I'm angrier at. The people posing for the photos? Or the boyfriends of Instagram who are taking these stupid pictures? Even so-called journalists got into the act. And Extern with the Washington Examiner was fired after news broke last week that Fiona Moriarty McLaughlin faked activism for an Instagram photo op, posing with a drill and a boarded up building for the gram. The stupid literally burns, people. But also we gotta give a big shout out to Twitter user Influencers in the Wild for documenting and collecting all this insanity. And finally, the small Long Island hamlet of Merrick, New York, made national news when residents tried to block 100 Black Lives Matter protesters from marching, suggesting that they should be rerouted to march through a more diverse town nearby. Yeah, nothing racist about that at all. But likely racism aside, think about that. It's a protest, protesting, protesting. I'm half shocked someone didn't scream out, gutter is a tool.
We're not gonna protest. We're not gonna protest.
We're not gonna protest.
We're not gonna protest.
We're not gonna protest.
We're not gonna protest.
We're not gonna protest.
We're not gonna protest.
But even in the face of such massive buffoonery, this week's nominees blew them all away. It's a battle of loud, shrill personalities as we pit Deborah Messing against Meghan McCain. This ought to be good. This week's first nominee is Will & Grace star Deborah Messing. Last Tuesday, Messing posted a tweet comparing President Trump's photo in front of St. John's Church to an image of Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler. In the photo she posted, Hitler appears to be holding a Bible in a similar pose. Of course, Messing, a high-profile Trump hater, jumped on the easy comparison, because as we all know, folks, Godwin's Law states, the longer an online discussion goes, the probability of a Nazi comparison gets more and more likely. And after 4 years of Trump hating from Messing, she's at peak Hitler. But it's too bad that Messing didn't check the photo before clicking that button, because the Twitterverse locked on target, exposing that Messing had used a doctored photo where someone had photoshopped a Bible over Hitler's Nazi salute. Welcome to Fake News Town, Population U. Twitter later fact-checked the tweet, calling it manipulated media, and Messing eventually had to do the deletion of shame, but she stood by her comparison that Trump equals Hitler. Because even in the face of incontrovertible evidence, buffoons never admit they're wrong. Like what you've seen so far? Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. Leave us a comment as well, because we read every single one of them. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another show. This week's second nominee is the so-called conservative voice on ABC's The View, Meghan McCain. Last Tuesday, McCain took to Twitter. Why is it always Twitter? Not that we're complaining, because, you know, Twitter keeps us in the buffoonery business. McCain took to Twitter to comment on ongoing protests occurring outside of her New York City apartment, calling New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Again, we can't seem to get away from de Blasio. Calling de Blasio and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo disgraces, McCain tweeted that her neighborhood looks like a, quote, war zone, and that leaders are letting cities burn to the ground and be destroyed. But it turns out that McCain's views may be, shockingly, fake news. Kirsten Bartlett, a comedy writer and neighbor of McCain's, responded that their neighborhood is just fine. Then, the buffoonery jumped up a level, as McCain tried to clarify that she was basing her opinion on news coverage, and even implied that she may not have been in New York at the time she tweeted. So just like Messing, the Twitterverse did its job, dragging McCain for lying, getting caught lying, and then making herself out to be a victim by claiming that a, quote, gossip organization was about to run a story about where she and her family actually were, which many people believe wasn't New York City. So let this be a lesson to all of you. It's better to shut up, get humble, and take the L, than to open your big fat mouth again and confirm that you're a bigger buffoon than we actually thought. Hey, don't forget that Buffoon of the Week is all over social media, so when you're online, make sure you like us on Facebook, you follow us on the Twitters, and go on over to Instagram and like us there too. But the most important thing you have to do is remember to subscribe right here on YouTube. So, we have two colossal buffoons vying for your nomination. But who deserves your vote? To help you make your decision, we'll run each nominee through our trademark-pending Sharpton scale of buffoonery. First, we'll measure each nominee's buffoonish nature by comparing her to the only perfect buffoon ever measured on our scale, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Then, we'll measure each nominee's action's buffoonish magnitude using our custom unit of measurement, the Sharpton. Let's get to it. Science waits for no one. Deborah Messing is a habitual buffoon. The manipulated photo aside, Messing has a pretty long history of tweeting without thinking. Like last September when she demanded that Trump donors be put on a blacklist and also disparaged black Trump voters. Messing also has a history of using Nazi references on Twitter, even calling Jewish conservative Ben Shapiro a Nazi back in 2017. Susan Sarandon, probably the most well-known Hollywood liberal, got into a feud with Messing, calling Messing ill-informed. Messing earns a score of 79, and her latest action in unrepentant go-to Nazi claims gets 5.65 gigasharptons. Meghan McCain is also a habitual buffoon. The lying and getting caught aside, McCain has a history of playing the victim, especially in arguments on The View and online. I mean, how many times has she cried on national TV? Even conservative women like Dana Lash have feuded with McCain online, with Lash insinuating that McCain is dumb. McCain earns a score of 79, and her latest action and her unrepentant victimhood gets 5.65 gigasharptons. Yep, the exact same scores as Deborah Messing. So there you go, folks. Two equally matched nominees worthy of our mantle. But which buffoon is bigger? Time to vote! Tell us who you got for this week's Buffoon of the Week. Thanks once again for watching the entire video. We really appreciate it. Be sure to give it a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel. It's so important. We're trying to get 200 subscribers by the end of the month. If you can help us with that, that would be great. And come back next week where we'll have two more nominees, but only one can be Buffoon of the Week.
All right, so that's cut one of Buffoon of the Week. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, come back, finish up the last one, then we're going to wrap up the show because that's going to put us over the mark, but we're going to get it done anyway. So we're going to take a really quick break and come right back. So please don't go away, or do, because, you know, I'm not the government and I'm not trying to tell you what to do. You're an adult. Make up your own mind. You can hang out. You can come back and listen later. You can do whatever you feel like you need to do. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll see you guys on the other side. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new Signature Wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Till my leg give out, can't check my mouth. Till the smoke clears out, and my high burn out. I'ma rip this shit till my bone pull out. Till the roof comes on, till the lights go out. Till my leg give out, can't check my mouth. Till the smoke clears out, and my high burn out. I'ma rip this shit till my bone pull out.
Music is like magic. There's a certain feeling you get when you reel and you speak, and people are feeling your shit. This is your moment, and every single minute you spend trying to hold.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the America Off the Rails show. I am Rick Robinson. This is America Off the Rails, and we're live right here on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network. Typically, we do this show on Wednesday nights, and we're doing it on Thursday night because after all the stress of not having internet for a week and yelling at providers and figuring out all the craziness, I just didn't really have it in me to do 2 hours last night, especially doing an hour by myself. And Ordy and I decided to do a longer than usual show anyway, which we normally do because, you know, you and I really only do the once a week thing right now because unlike what you bastards seem to think, Dan is not my imaginary friend. He's also not my alter ego, and eventually he will hopefully come back and do radio. But he's having to work a lot right now. So without further ado, we're going to wrap things up with the final segment of Buffoon of the Week for this week. I actually didn't realize it at the time. Never mind. I did them in the right order. So we did last week's already. So when the show's over, make sure you go to the Buffoon of the Week YouTube channel. Make sure you click on them. Give them an actual legit watch because there's some stuff that you guys don't get to see when we do it on the radio. And now you can hear this one. So here we go.
Hey there and welcome to Buffoon of the Week. It's a show where we scour the past week's news and current events, searching for people who said or did something so incredibly idiotic that we feel that they deserve consideration for our award of shame. We nominate two such newsmakers, and you vote for who you think was the bigger buffoon by either clicking on the I in the top right corner of the video, or by leaving a comment with your pick on any of our social media, including in the comments below. Last week, you voted for Meghan McCain in our biggest vote yet. Once again, our social media went in favor of Deborah Messing, while YouTube broke sharply for McCain. We absolutely love that this show has gotten all of you thinking. In case you just found our little show, our regular viewers already know that we post weekly videos Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, so if you like the work that we're doing in exposing all kinds of political buffoons, smash that thumbs up button and be sure to subscribe to our channel. We're on a mission to get to our next goal of 200 subscribers, so also be sure to tell all of your sarcastic friends all about us. You know the ones we're talking about. There are literally too many political buffoons out in force lately, so our nominating committee had a heck of a time even narrowing down our dishonorable mentions. As the backlash continued in the fallout of the George Floyd protests, the discussion turned towards the issue of Confederate monuments. CNN political commentator Angela Rye wants to kick things up a notch.
Is it about statues and monuments? I know you saw the interview I did with Cory Stewart, mm-hmm. who's trying to run for a Senate seat there in Virginia. And he makes the case that it is about statues and monuments, and everyone's trying to make it about something else.
I think that we have to get to the heart of the problem here, and the heart of the problem is the way in which many of us were taught American history. American history is not all glorious, and even though I love John to death, I couldn't disagree more about George Washington. George Washington was a slave owner, and we need to call slave owners out for what they are. Whether we think they were protecting American freedom or not, he wasn't protecting my freedom. I wasn't someone who my ancestors weren't deemed human beings to him. And so to me, I don't care if it's a George Washington statue or a Thomas Jefferson statue or a Robert E. Lee statue. They all need to come down. There is a way that we can recognize and appreciate. I'm going to finish my point. I'm not feeding into white supremacy. I'm calling out white supremacy for what it is. And sometimes what it is, John, are blind spots. Sometimes what it is not acknowledging that this country was built upon a very violent past that resulted in death and the raping and the killing of my ancestors.
Sounds like the Chinese Cultural Revolution right here in America, doesn't it? Historical context be damned. If you don't check off every single standard from today's woke activists, your cancellation is imminent. Even if you founded the country where you are freely allowed to pursue your woke agenda. Remember last week when we called out so-called social media influencers for taking protest selfies? Well, they're back at it again this week with another example of how far humanity has fallen. This past week, a bunch of wannabe internet famous boobs, mostly from Eastern Europe and the Middle East, were called out because they decided it was a good idea to paint their skin a darker shade in a sign of solidarity with the protests that we've been seeing over the past few weeks. One even had the audacity to post a caption saying, quote, "I wish I was black," after superimposing her face over a photo of a black woman's face. How infuriating is it that in 2020, we need to educate morons about the racist and painful history of blackface? Isn't that right, Governor Northam? Speaking of people completely lacking self-awareness, conservatives online were rightfully mocked for calling for a boycott of the band Rage Against the Machine after just realizing the band's political leanings. I mean, come on, you dummies. What machine did you think the band was raging against for all these years? If you are just now realizing the radical undercurrent of their music, you're definitely a buffoon. But if you want to talk about lack of self-awareness, no one this week will top former NASCAR driver Ray Ciccarelli. Yeah, I didn't know who he was either, until he took to social media last week to state that he intends to leave racing at the end of this season in protest of NASCAR's stated new direction, which includes banning the Confederate flag from races. Yep, that's the hill Ciccarelli chose to die on. But make no mistake, this signifies the end of an era that saw Ciccarelli's part-time career span 3 years and 18 races, in which Ciccarelli earned no wins, no poles, and one top 10 finish in the Gander RV and Outdoors Truck Series. Man, the legends always leave us too soon. But enough about wannabes and losers. Let's get to our nominees who may actually win something. This week, we put forth for your consideration and comedic pleasure the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone and the band formerly known as Lady Antebellum. Let's start things off with a riddle. What do you get when you cross Lord of the Flies with Animal Farm? You get our first nominee, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, also known as CHAZ. Last week in the city of Seattle, police boarded up the windows and doors and abandoned the East Precinct in the Capitol Hill neighborhood on orders of Seattle's mayor following days of clashes where protesters had taunted riot gear-clad cops by flinging rocks and bottles. Since then, those same violent protesters decided to wall off six city blocks in the Capitol Hill neighborhood around that abandoned precinct, claiming it as an autonomous zone. Hey, would you look at that? Walls actually do work. The events in the area were apparently news to everyone, including Washington's Governor Jay Inslee.
Governor, I'd like to ask you about what's going on in Seattle. There's this thing called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. What's your thought on that? The fact that the protesters have taken that over and not allowing people to come and go freely?
Well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about that from any credible source. Not that you're not credible, it's just like before I...
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
And to think, this guy thought he could be president. Anyways, since last Monday, we've all been witness to the struggles of living autonomously. First, there was the food shortage, as, shockingly, there wasn't enough free food to go around after the local homeless in the area took it all. Then, the free zone started turning into a police state. Enter strapped rapper and wannabe warlord, Raz Simone.
If you're legally carrying and all that stuff at the edges, not to scare people, but and with your paperwork, I got mine in my pocket. Again, we don't want that. I really don't want that presence at all. But just watching someone get shot out here, I was there when he ran through the crowd, and I watched someone get shot. So I'm saying, if you do, that would be great if you were over at the barricades.
The owner that's actually being nice and letting us stay here,
oh God,
forgot we are the police of this community now. We are the leaders of this community now. The precinct ain't destroyed, bro, and we stopped them from doing that.
Hey, no, we're just chilling.
No, this is my boy right
here. No, bro, go there. Stop, bro. Go there, bro.
Stop. I'm not trying to eat.
Get your hands off me, bro.
Hey, yo, stop. Hey, bro. Hey, you gonna buck up on her?
Chill.
You gonna buck up on her?
Chill.
So this is what justice in Chaz looks like? Kinda looks like an abuse of power worthy of a protest. Raz wasn't so popular after that clip made it into the media, but neither was news that he has a history of making homophobic tweets. Raz later claimed that his Twitter was hacked, or as we like to call it around here, the Anthony Weiner defense. Hey Raz, maybe you should call the cops about it. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. So in less than a week, the people in Chaz who ended up protesting against the police state ended up creating a mini one themselves, complete with armed borders and a scandal-scarred authoritarian who established his power at gunpoint. Still not as bad as the Seattle Mariners, but man, what a dumpster fire. Wait! How could I forget about the actual dumpster fire that they weren't equipped to put out, so they had to call in the Seattle Fire Department? It's been a bumpy road for Chaz, but on the plus side, at least they can organize a game of dodgeball. Like what you see so far? Go ahead and smash that thumbs up button. Also, leave us a comment and tell us what you're thinking. And don't forget to subscribe, so you never miss another show. This week's second nominee is the band formerly known as Lady Antebellum. The Grammy-winning country trio announced, in light of the heightened national conversation about racism, that they were changing their name to Lady A. Lady Antebellum made the changes very quickly on social media, including Spotify and Apple Music, as well as the group's website. But maybe it was done too quickly. You see, there is a Seattle blues singer who's been going by the name Lady A for nearly 20 years. Neither the band nor any members of their team reached out to Lady A before making off with her name. Had they asked, they would have found out that Anita White, aka Lady A, has released multiple albums with the name and was gearing to release a new one in July.
I was working yesterday all day, and about 3:30 in the afternoon, my phone had been ringing all day, but I finally had to shut it down on silent. You need to check your Facebook page. And I did. And not 10 minutes later, Rolling Stone magazine. You know, I can't imagine that they could go on and Google and not see me there. You can go on Spotify and see me. You can go on Amazon and see me. To totally disregard the fact that there is another Lady A out there, or is the Lady A, because I am, and have been for over 30 years. I don't understand how they would not reach out. They have tried to reach out to me on Instagram, so I don't know how real that is. I'm not giving up my name. I've worked too hard for it. It's my brand. People know me by that name. I have CDs out by that name. I don't know why they wouldn't reach out. And they knew that Antebellum had a racist connotation to it from the beginning. And maybe they didn't. And so I'm, maybe they're truthful in what they said. But in today's climate, I don't understand how you will justify saying that, you know, your name had a racist connotation and you apologize to the Black community, and yet you take another Black artist's name with no regard. It's not right that they can come and decide that they want to use this name and take it from me, because now it feels like another neck, another knee on my neck.
So in summary, changing your band name from a reference to the American South pre-Civil War in support of racial equality is a good thing. But it's not a good thing when you simultaneously steal your new name from a Black performer because you were so arrogant that you didn't bother to do a minimal amount of research. Because that's just straight buffoonery. Let's hope the Dixie Chicks avoid the same problem when the Woken Warriors come for them. Hey, don't forget that Buffoon of the Week is all over social media. So when you're online, make sure you like us on Facebook, you follow us on the Twitters, and go on over to Instagram and like us there too. But the most important thing you have to do is remember to subscribe right here on YouTube. So, you've seen the nominees, and now it's time to decide who is the bigger buffoon. And to aid you in your decision-making process, we'll put each nominee through their paces with our trademark-pending Sharpton scale of buffoonery. First, we'll measure the buffoonish nature of each nominee by comparing them to our lodestone of buffoonery, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Then, we'll measure the buffoonish magnitude of each buffoon's actions using our custom unit of measurement, the Sharpton. Time to make some science! Chaz is a social experiment doomed to failure and could possibly result in tragedy. Don't believe me? Think about what was accomplished by Occupy Wall Street. Read up on the Paris Commune of 1871. And look at the rate of degradation already. We've seen socialism fails, violence, corruption, and unrest. And we've just seen the first week. Who knows what's coming this week and in the future? Chaz collectively rates a 76, but its actions in the first week alone add up to 122.78 gigasharptons. And our buffoonologists, they expect to see that number grow on a daily basis. The band formerly known as Lady Antebellum are not widely known to step into political issues. You'd be hard-pressed to find anything controversial or political from them in the last year or so. That said, they done stepped in it this time. Yes, their intentions were certainly in the right place, but their team failed them. They had one freaking job. Do proper due diligence on the changed name. Fire them all. Start from scratch, and hopefully this will be a distant memory in about a year or so. The band earns a mere 43, but their action is a whopping 18.4 gigasharptons. Well, folks, it's about that time again. We've laid out our reasons. You have the nominees, and the choice is in your hands. Tell us who you got for this week's Buffoon of the Week. Hey, thanks for hanging out till the end of the video. We really appreciate it. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe to the channel and tell your friends all about it. We're trying to get to 200 subscribers. Come back next week, where we'll have two more nominees, but only one can be Buffoon of the Week.
Alright, so there you have this week's Buffoon of the Week. Unfortunately, because we didn't get last week's done in time, you can't really vote on the first one that I played, but I still wanted you guys to be able to hear it anyway, and I would still love it if you guys later would go play both videos from my good friend Gene. But, so, there's something that I want to talk about as we're closing. We've only got about 9 minutes till we hit the hour and a half mark, so I might as well just extend the show for 9 more minutes. So, let's talk about this Lady A bullshit. So, here's the thing, folks. Antebellum actually is most commonly known as America in America as a form of architecture that, and just to make sure we're on the same page, antebellum is actually a combination of two Latin words. It literally means before the war. The problem that I have with all of this is this wasn't even a phrase that was widely associated with the Civil War until after the conflict was over. So the whole idea that this has some sort of racist connotation is just absolutely astounding to me, because it literally, it's a compound word that says before the war. And at some point, they started using that to start talking about architecture and other things that were pre-Civil War. Again, the question I asked you at the beginning of the show, can we all just please grow the fuck up? I'm so tired of the perpetually offended. Do you realize there are literally hundreds of thousands of things that I could be offended about every single day? And if I really wanted to, I could piss, moan, whine, and complain about so many different things that none of you would give two shits about. But it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, it doesn't change anything, it doesn't make anything better, and if you really think that what is going on in this country right now is going to help race relations, then you are a bigger buffoon than the last four people or groups that we've heard from tonight in both episodes of The Buffoon of the Week, because this is not going to make anything any better. It's only going to make it worse, because this isn't an honest conversation. This isn't about trying to make things better. This isn't about trying to make things right. This is about people wanting to hold you accountable for things that your ancestors may or may not have done. We talked about this in the beginning of the show, too. I am part Irish. I am part Polish. I am part all kinds of things that have been involved in slavery on the other end of this thing, in one form or another. And the simple fact of the matter is slavery existed long before America, and even though we tried to do everything we could to get rid of it, slavery will have probably continued to exist long after America, because it is still prevalent today, just not in the Western world for the most part. So the simple fact of the matter is there are so many things that have become points of emotion instead of points of fact, and I'm going to say this one more time in closing. History is not for you to rewrite. History is here for you to learn from. And if you're offended by it, that is absolutely awesome, because there probably should be lots of things from our history that offend the shit out of you. As somebody that looks really, really white, but is part Native American, some of the things that happened to some of my ancestors really kind of pissed me off. And unlike Liz Warren, I'm slightly more than 1/1024th Native American. That being said, again, also part Irish. Irish were slaves as well, in this country too. There were white slaves, just like there were black slaves. The thing that nobody talks about, for all this group that's like, oh my god, black people deserve reparations. All right, that's great, that's fine. So what about the handful of black slave owners? Do their ancestors also now owe reparations? Because that's right, ladies and gentlemen, there were black slave owners in the United States of America. So if we're really going to start talking about history, why don't we actually start talking about history? Let's have conversations about it. Let's make sure people understand it so it doesn't repeat itself. Let's make sure that we have the statues of the generals, and maybe even the flags that piss us off. Whether they're in museums or hanging on state capitals or whatever the hell, who cares? Because they're pieces of cloth. The same people that are telling me that a Confederate flag offends them are the same people that get pissed off at me when I get pissed off because they're burning the American flag or stepping on it. The simple fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, we have decisions that we have to make in this country. And one of the biggest decisions that we have to make is, when the fuck are we going to be adults? Are we going to continue to have a government that tells us what we have to do, when we have to do it, and when we should do things? Are we going to start being able to think for ourselves again? Are we going to allow people like Black Lives Matter? And again, I'm not saying black lives don't matter. I'm saying BLM, the religious and political movement, needs to die in a fire. Again, hate mail, feel free, at RowdyRick73, RadioFreeRick@gmail.com. I don't care. Tell me whatever you want. I will read it on the air. Shit, send me your phone number. I will call you and we'll talk about this shit on the air. Because I am tired of pulling punches with this bullshit. I am tired of walking on eggshells in my own country. I am tired of watching people's family members' lives destroyed for things that they haven't even been convicted for yet in this country. I am tired of this woke bullshit. Because you aren't woke, you're asleep. You are so wrapped up in your own emotions, you don't even realize what you're doing to the rest of the country, because the only thing that matters to you is you. And until you realize that not everything is about you, Cupcake, you're never going to be happy. And it really is that simple. And on that note, we're going to start wrapping things up. Want to remind everybody that we do have a fresh episode of The Daily Dose back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern, or 7 to 9 a.m., with my co-host, Stacey, probably one of the smartest ladies that I've ever worked with in radio. And I don't say lady because, you know, it's a qualifier. It's because that's what she is. We really have some of the smartest ladies on radio, on KLRN radio, as far as I'm concerned. Stacey is by far probably I mean, honestly, she should do a show by herself. I don't know why she doesn't. I've tried to talk her into it. She won't. But she should. But that being said, we'll do that show tomorrow morning. Then I'm off for the rest of the weekend. I'm taking Father's Day off. I probably won't be on social media much because I don't want to be. I have family coming over for most of the weekend, one form or another. And then we'll be back on Monday, and things will start returning slowly back to normal. And again, I want to thank everybody for taking the time to tune in. Whether you choose to do so live in the chat room, which you should. Our chat is awesome, and it's fun. And the funnest thing for me is getting caught up on the breaks, because sometimes y'all take conversations in completely different directions. And honestly, before I got to figure out how the chat worked, that used to kind of worry me, because I was like, are they just not even paying attention to me at all? Am I here talking to myself? And then I realized that we're adults and we can multitask. It's all good. All right. So I know I keep using that word tonight, adult, because it's time for us to remember that, you know, we have to be adults. We have to be held accountable. We have to be able to make our own decisions. We have to, I mean, there are natural consequences to decisions that you make. If you decide after you pass or fail a drunk test that you're going to fight with a cop and try to resist arrest, steal a taser, try to shoot them with it, and then run from them while you're trying to shoot them with it, then you're probably going to deserve whatever happens to you. And I'm sorry if you're trying to paint this guy as a victim, because he wasn't. He made a conscious decision to resist arrest and steal a taser. One is, I believe resisting arrest is still a misdemeanor. I don't know, that may have changed. But stealing an officer's weapon, whether it's less than lethal or not, is a felony. You can't shoot fleeing felons. It's the part nobody else tells you. Especially if they have a weapon that you're not sure they may not use on somebody else. All right, that's going to do it. We will see you guys tomorrow morning. In the words of Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, please be excellent to each other. In the words of Rick Robinson, we'll see you guys in the morning. But for that, for right now, for this very moment, that does mean this particular show is officially over.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
This isn't over until I say it's over!
Closing time.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man.
Don't. See you guys. I'm going home. Later.
Game over, man. It's game over.